I'm going to be talking today about opportunities in contract and procurement development for delivering water infrastructure in South Australia. And the intent of the presentation is to look at the changes in our infrastructure landscape that we are faced with, what I think the challenges and opportunities are, and how embracing different contract and procurement approaches may assist us in facing these challenges and opportunities to make things better. I'm going to briefly look at a range of contracts and indicate how these may align with the project or asset life cycle. I'm going to talk to you also about what the required outcomes may need to be and how we may achieve these through the use of key performance indicators and focusing on outcomes. So if we look at the key challenges and opportunities that we face, the extent of overall growth in terms of major projects within this state in the last 3 years has grown from $15 billion to $44.8 billion, as published by DTED. It includes about 22 major minerals projects greater than $50 million, the massive Olympic Dam project in terms of the expansion there, and also major projects in defence, aerospace, urban development and major roads. We've also got other impacts of global upward cost pressures, both on infrastructure, people and materials, driven by both the state need but also globally. In addition to that, and with some of the challenges that we've seen today in terms of the water industry before us, we've got major growth within the water sector, such as the Adelaide Metropolitan Water Project, which has got a published price, I think when I checked it, it might have changed now, but of $1.4 billion, and also the potential in terms of Adelaide Hill storage. This is going to have a significant impact on resources, capability and supplier interest. And resources and capability are very likely to be limited going forward. And the current constraints are probably going to get worse with the change in engineering demographics. There's so many people now retiring from the industry, and there's only a limited number of mid-career people available. So the impact is that implementation and quality may suffer. We've got a growing program and an implementation and quality problem, and needing to deliver this significantly increased program in quite tight timeframes. And so with so many opportunities in other sectors, the uptake of opportunities in this sector may reduce. So we may not get people even tendering for jobs that we want them to do. At the same time, we've got a drive for value of money, requiring us to secure our water resources and long-term capability and a long-term future for the water industry in this state. So with all these challenges and opportunities, I believe that traditional ways are unlikely to be effective in delivering the future levels of program spend, as there's going to be a significant amount of relearning, transactional effort in the normal and traditional type of projects that we have. So we need to have a strategy that delivers water security and sustainability, an infrastructure program that aligns with both the short and the long-term requirements for water needs in this state, and that permits contract forms to deal with the changing priorities and capital spend as a result of drought and climate change impacts. Joe mentioned as well about the need to do in-time type approaches, rather than lots of early planning maybe for some drought impacts that might be affected. So this means that we need to do something different if we are to rise to the challenge. I think we need contract forms and procurement methodologies that drive the relationship between all parties to be aligned to the outcomes, with incentive mechanisms that align all partners to work together and are most likely to succeed. You'll see the cartoon on the board there that I've put up. You might have seen it before, but it's basically about what the client maybe wanted and what was actually delivered, the expectations and the breakdown through an asset life cycle. So contracts that are outcome performance driven with key performance indicators, more flexible and focused on the outcomes with risks and rewards appropriately assured, I think are more likely going to be able to deliver the challenges ahead of us. Ones that drive innovation and the emphasis on the delivery of these, ones where the outcome is understood throughout the whole asset life cycle by all parties, and ones that drive improvements and lessons learned. Delivering the financial benefits and incentives to all parties quite often through a pay-and-gain share mechanism or a bonus arrangement, and that maintains a coherent water supply industry in the future by providing increased economies of scale for the medium to smaller projects, locking in capability to this sector, thereby guaranteeing workload for a longer time, and contracts for larger projects that drive all the players together again, aligning on supply chain management processes to deliver the major project. So what are the types of contract that might work here? Not all the contract forms that I've put up there are relationship-based or outcome-focused, but if formulated in the right way, can be so. I would contend that it's very difficult for a lump-sum type contract to be relationship-based. I'm just going to cover off on a couple of them here. And the design and construct contract can help accelerate projects whilst encouraging innovation. They can be written with relationship-based KPIs, and early contractor involvement type contracts are also a variant of this. The certain examples were EastLink project that PB worked on in Victoria, and also the Sydney desalination plant were design and construct projects. I've also outlined up there the traditional format, the traditional contract, and I've outlined the gaps as I think these represent both the loss of information and alignment at each stage in the asset life cycle, and the considerable effort involved in managing this, the transactions and the contractual arrangements, while not necessarily being focused on the outcome. EPC are engineer procurement and construction. The CM is construction management, and they're very similar. Again, contracts that are EPCM based with performance-based indicators predicated on outcomes to deliver what's required. Alliancing, again, is another form of EPC generally, but that can be applied to many different forms of contracts. But here the client is a full member of the team, and usually there are no extension of time or liquidated damages clauses included. Quite a lot of examples in terms of these type of contracts are mining contracts. The water industry in the UK particularly works on EPCM, EPC or alliance-based, an alliance-based variant. In Western Australia, Water Corp have bundled their contracts together into EPC alliances or just a straight EPC. And there's similar effects over in New South Wales with Sydney Water. So this means, really, that one size doesn't fit all in terms of the contract arrangements that we need in terms of procuring future water projects and programs. And I think we have to align these forms of contract to two different ways, program-based opportunities and also major project-based opportunities. I've put up on the board there the program-based approaches in terms of some of the issues and outcomes that I outlined earlier, and the possible strategies that we could do to deal with them. But the critical thing here is to have bundles of projects to simplify the supply chain management process, focused on delivering the outcomes, and it also provides the work consistency and the supplier interest to actually deliver off on a selection of projects. The value for money here, again, is in not having to continually reinvent the wheel, driving off innovations and lessons learned, and permitting a proper and consistent lean management approach. Sort of contracts that might work well here are EPC or EPCM type contracts. And typical KPIs would be ability to deliver capital spend, progress, safety, cost forecastings, etc. But also such lead indicators as innovation, knowledge management, integration of lessons learned, community issues and dealing with those, standardization, team health and communication. And quite often, these sort of program-based approaches work better with an integrated team where all parties have at least some member in the team. Benefits of these should be tied to the KPIs, should be tied so that there's a pain or gain share mechanism focused on delivering the wider outcomes of the program or the project. The advantages, again, are that the business imperative and commitment for private sector to recruit, adequately train, and resource for these type of programs is there. And the synergies associated with the continually carrying out similar work without having to re-tender each time. Quite often, the best way to do it as well is to have a co-located team where all parties are working together and the communication works more effectively. I mentioned earlier about Water Corp and Sydney Water, and they adopted these type of programs. In the UK, I was based upon a similar program with Southern Water, delivering on an EPC approach. Major projects are different. They're obviously very large enough to provide the work consistency and the ability to secure capability over a longer period of time, such that then the supply chain management can be aligned. But again, major project-based approaches, I believe, should be relationship-focused, outcome-focused. Probably the KPIs are similar, but for a major project-based approach, the critical thing is driving innovation, finding out where you can get value for money, and sharing of solutions. Typical contract forms that would work here are EPC, EPCM, based contracts or other types such as public-private partnership or a design, build, operate and maintain type contract. Team health communication, again, is critical in terms of a major project, focused on the outcomes. The advantages, again, are the business imperative and the commitment by private sector to recruit and adequately resource these type of projects, retaining and locking in capability for this sector, the water sector, providing shared solutions and ownership. Some examples of this are the Gippsland Water Factory Alliance in Victoria, at which PB were working in alliance with contractors and the client. KPIs, again, based around community acceptance, knowledge transfer and innovation, together with the more usual ones of cost and time and spend. Terminal 5 Heathrow, which is probably not a good example to put up here at the moment, but I worked on that for a year. But if you think what's been done in an environment that's extremely contained within London, and a heavy regulated environment, partnership agreement where the client accepted all the risk, and the complete driver was the integration of the various teams and the partnering to manage the risk and the outcomes. Now, I hope that the last two or three weeks of problems that are there won't necessarily be what T5's remembered for, but it has delivered on the price that it wanted to deliver, in the time that it wanted to deliver, and I would say, once we get past the teething problems, also the actual requirements and the outcomes. So in conclusion, I'd just like to quote from Homer. That's Homer Simpson. Lisa Simpson says to her dad, "Did you know that the Chinese use the same word for crisis as they do for opportunity?" To which Homer replies, "Yes, crisis-unity." And I think that probably sums up where we are with the future of water in this state. We've got some tough challenges ahead of us. We have to deliver a water infrastructure program the magnitude of which we've never seen before. And on top of that, we must be mindful of the wider context, both within South Australian infrastructure and globally, of the competition for those resources and capability. We need to align ourselves with the outcomes that we as a state wish to see for our wind and water industry and also for water security. But with that said, the opportunities are probably the best they've ever been. It's an exciting time to be in this state, and it's an exciting time for the water industry. I'm personally very excited, still about sewers and pipelines and whatever. But if we keep doing it the way we've always done it, without acknowledging the changing landscape, I doubt we're going to succeed in seizing those opportunities effectively. So the challenge that we now face is we need to be smarter with how we tackle and deliver the projects in this state. I think looking at alternative forms of contracting is one of the ways in which that will allow us to harness the potential within this water sector. And I think this includes creating contracts based on longer-term relationships with performance focused on the wider outcomes and the need to include the bundling of medium and smaller projects work, suited to locking in capability again. Larger projects are going to require specific contracts, and these are going to need to be looked at based upon what the outcomes are. But for all contracts, the outcomes need to have some form of equitable risk, and I think the approach to paying a gain or bonus-type arrangements to deliver off on the wider outcomes of all parties is where we need to be. So that these challenges and opportunities that we face, I think, are inspiring, and with contracts aimed at addressing these, we bring the challenge and the opportunity together. It's a crisis-unity. Thanks a lot.